we're going to have a caller call in. And not only is the caller call in, but Sam Sebrin is in the studio with us. Sam, welcome to the afternoon show. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Kieran. Thanks for having
awesome.
Me, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And we have Owl on the line from, I believe it is New Jersey. Owl, are you there with us? Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. I'm just wondering, tell me if you can hear Sam.
Hey, Al. Can you hear me? This is Sam.
Yes, I hear you. Loud and clear.
Okay, excellent.
Awesome.
All
Al,
right.
Al, thank you for bearing with us as we are not like the most technologically savvy folks here on the Monday afternoon show. However, we do figure it out in the end, it seems like. And I really appreciate you bearing with us. I want to say welcome to the afternoon show. Thank you for calling in from Mahwah, New Jersey. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on down there in Mahwah, New Jersey these days?
Will do. But first, I'd like to follow the suggestion given to me when I was at Standing Rock in North Dakota, and that is to start with a short prayer, because we always need to be mindful of the thanks we need to give for what we have. And that prayer is actually in Muncie language, which was the original language of this area. And it goes like this.
Absolutely.
Anashik, Kishilaminkwong, Ilumilinkwong, Kukunaki, Kishuswe, Ipafung, Alongwiwak, Ipatakwis. And the translation of that is, thank you, Creator, for giving us today the earth, the sun, the moon, and thunder. And that is a very appropriate prayer for our times, because we can no longer take for granted our rivers and our mountains, with the mountaintop removal, with the hydrofracking, with the devastation, the self-devastation that we're causing throughout this country. We need to be mindful of what we have and try to preserve that. So I thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your prayer. We really appreciate that, too.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you, Al. I think you're touching on a point that is really something people need to be reminded of as much as possible these days, as we seems like we're more and more disconnected from nature, and people are taking our landscape for granted, while I feel like a lot of the situations going on that you mentioned, fracking, all of the pipelines, the multiple many pipelines currently in proposal across America, are sort of in a way about those corporations and fossil fuel companies owning the land. It's like a big, huge land grab, I feel, on a certain level, and it's time for people to pay attention to that.
And Owl, so add to that, could you just identify yourself and what nation you come from and what you may know about land grabs?
Well, I'm Al. My name in Muncie is Kokosh, and my father grew up in this area. My grandfather's buried in these mountains, so I'm coming back to the community. The particular problem we face here is that it's one of recognition. We are recognized by the state of New Jersey, and we're not federally recognized, but there's one group in America that recognizes us quite well, and that is the pipeline companies. And we've actually been targeted by them in the past and in the present, because they recognize that our community has a profound connection and interest to this land. And we have about 3,700 members in our community. We're concerned about land issues because the town has charged us with erecting what they call permanent teepees and really bringing people on the land and coming together. For some reason, they are opposed to this. But the irony is that we are actually on our ancestral land. This is land that we had ceremonies on even before there was the United States. So we're very concerned about the land and the waters. I mean, we're all interconnected. and we're the original descendants of Manhattan. And you heard the story in which it said that the original people sold Manhattan for beads. Mm-hmm. The problem is that that's untrue in the sense that we just didn't know at that time that you could sell and buy land. We just thought there were some nice people giving us some gifts. They asked us if they could use the land. It's like asking, can you breathe the air? And we're like, fine. And these people give us these gifts. And then the next time we see them, they're shooting at us. Mm-hmm. We couldn't figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know what can be done to land, and we're here in some ways to warn the world and the community about water. I mean, water is said to be the next commodity that's going to be more valuable than gold. So for us, it's all interconnected. The land, lack of recognition of our rights to the land, and really, in some ways, that is reflected in the lack of respect and honoring that we as a society now give to the water. We're using it as a dumping ground, and that's just unacceptable.
Hmm. So just to back up just one more time, so Muncie is not just a town in New Jersey. A lot of our towns are named after the people that used to live there. So Muncie, you referred to that as a language and a nation, if you could just clarify that. Also, I've noticed on some of the literature the name Ramapo Lunapi, and if you could just tell us a little bit about that, and does it relate to the Lenni Lenape? Because I know the Lenni Lenape, and am I pronouncing that right? And if you could also just mention this particular pipeline, who they are. I know that's like five questions in one, but what's happening down there?
Okay, the Lenape, I've heard pronounced Lenape as well, is we are considered to be the grandfather nation of this particular area. And in some stories, it's an emergent story where other nations emerged from this area. And in the relationships with other, even indigenous nations, the original people of the land were considered to be the grandfather nation.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Lenape, there were different groups, one of those groups being Muncie. And we were considered to be the warriors of the peaceful people. The Lenape as a group were considered to be the peaceful ones. And of this group, we were considered to be the warriors of the nations in this area. And our particular descent, we claim a close connection to the Ramapo Mountains. We also are the keepers of the pass, which means the guardians of the passageway. There are a few ways into the interior of the country from the Appalachian Mountains, one of those being right here in New York. And New York actually is very interesting geographically because it's one of the regions that's most close to the ocean from the Appalachian Mountains. It tends to go further when you go south and up north. So the Ramapo Pass is one of the few gateways, Hudson River Valley being another, to the interior of the country. So we have a special duty, a relationship to the land, and we are called keepers of the pass. In former times, because of the diaspora, there's people of Lenape heritage, descent, and connection throughout the North America. We have groups in Canada, groups in Minnesota, groups in Oklahoma. We're the ones that stayed behind. We're the descendants of the people that stayed behind. But if you see the name Muncie, whether it be in New Jersey, Indiana, other places, that most likely would denote a place where we have been and lived in our diaspora.
Hmm. And you now have an encampment, and it's located in, is it the town of Mahwah?
That is correct. Mahwah itself is interesting as well because in the ancient Muncie dialect, it meant a place of gathering.
A place of gathering. It's so, not an Anglo-Saxon name, it sounds like.
It's actually a Muncie name. I'm not sure if it's been anglicized, but it's Mahwah, M-A-H-W-A-H. It has a connection to the Muncie dialect, from what I've been told, that relates to a place of a gathering of peoples. And we have a prayer camp set up in support of Standing Rock and the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, who in their language are Dakota, Lakota, and Nakota. We have submitted a resolution in support of them, along with hundreds of other nations. Our chief, Dwayne Perry, opened the door. He visited Standing Rock at the end of August, and I visited there as well with our resolution in support of them and the fight they have. And to be honest with you, I didn't know at that time how direct the connection was to the fight here and with the Pilgrim Pipeline. Later on, in looking at the Pilgrim Pipeline, I found out that the same oil that they want to put in the pipeline that goes through Standing Rock is the same oil they want to put into the Pilgrim Pipeline.
Yes.
That's the same oil that exploded in Lake Megantic, Quebec, killing 47 people. So it literally is the same fight.
Yes. And I'd like to just add to that, Owl, that we like to call it the Pilgrim Pipelines with an S, because it's actually a dual pipeline, twice the danger and everything else, with the back in oil, as you said. And I could just take a minute to tell people a little bit about what the Pilgrim Pipelines is. It's two parallel pipelines running 170 miles each between Albany and Linden, New Jersey, plus over 12 miles of single pipe lateral lines. And in its proposal, it would be crossing 5 New Jersey counties, 6 New York counties, 30 New Jersey towns, 25 New York municipalities, and multiple watersheds, waterways, and environmentally fragile sources of water. And so it really is an issue about water. I think that's so important, the efforts that you all are doing there in Mahwah at your camp. And I think, you know, water is the thing that connects us all. So I don't know, could you talk a little bit more about the location of your camp in relation to the Pilgrim Pipelines pathway and proposed pathway, and possibly any are you guys also there in resistance to the Spectra AIM pipeline?
We're going to go to a quick break and then come back to that very poignant question. Thanks, Sam. Once again, you're listening to Owl, calling in from Mahwah, New Jersey. Sam Sebring in the studio with Kieran Riley. It is the Monday afternoon show. We're getting to know a little bit about this encampment down there. And Owl, you said that you were able to get that question from Sam about the pipelines and about the route and about all the other wonderful things Sam said. So if you're still with us, could you respond to that?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry about that, Al.
Yes, what I was saying regarding the pipelines and the plans, from what I understand, they have not necessarily fixed a route or have submitted one of their statements. They may have, but I know that in the past year or so, there's been some discussion as to exactly how they want to route the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact remains that it's going to come through the Ramapo Mountains and pass. All the major infrastructure comes through the Ramapo Pass, the interstate highway system, transmission lines, pipelines. So all of this infrastructure comes through the Ramapo Pass, and it has had a very negative effect on our communities. Even interstate highway system, they literally took major parts of one of our villages, Hilburn, to make the interstate highway. And although we don't necessarily connect them all the time, the Ford Motor Company dumped untold amounts of toxic waste into our community in Ringwood, where it's now hard to find a lot of people in their 60s and 70s because they're dying off because of the pollution. And when you look at it, that's tied to the infrastructure, transportation infrastructure. So the pipeline routes will go through the mountains and will go through some of our cemeteries where our ancestors are buried. My grandfather is buried on one of the mountaintops that would be impacted by the Pilgrim Pipeline. So we're very concerned and very disturbed about the current pipeline, and also are dealing with the effect of past pipelines. I was talking to archaeologists who said in the 50s, one of the pipelines that came in at that time, he had told me off the record and informally that he suspects that they may have disturbed many burial grounds to build that pipeline at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pilgrim Pipeline, we're concerned about the ancestors and also the living as well, in that the construction would most likely disturb many of our burial grounds, and of course the actual product, the oil itself, is from what I understand, a very highly toxic, flammable type of oil, even amongst types of oil. And again, we're also concerned about the impact of the hydrofracking that releases all that oil. So the whole process from the placement of the pipelines to what's being put in the pipelines is very disturbing to us as indigenous people and as members of this community.
Yes. So, Al, there was some news, I believe, over the weekend reported about what's going on at your camp. I believe the mayor there has expressed opposition to the pipelines. However, is there some sort of issue happening with you all there at the camp and the land?
Yes. The mayor and town of Mahwah, to put it charitably, we have had many problems with racism over the years. I would like to hope that it is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talk to the elders, in some ways, for us as indigenous people, it's almost like Alabama of the North. There's been a huge amount of racial animus to our community. So much so that people don't know, but before there was Brown versus Board of Education, Thurgood Marshall, the late Supreme Court Justice and NAACP lawyer, actually desegregated schools in Hilburn, New York, in 1943, a whole decade before Brown versus Board of Education. So we have a lot of healing we need to do in this community. We're part of this community, but there's a certain amount of prejudice and racial animus that still exists. And we would like the mayor to focus on the pipeline issue, and not us who are seeking to protect the water and stop the pipelines. And that's a question for the mayor, whether the town is willing to work with us and help us in terms of our prayers, raising consciousness, or whether the prejudice of the town will prevent them from effectively opposing this pipeline. I mean, I think the only ones that win in this, if the mayor, we can take him at his word, are the pipeline companies. The pipeline companies are the only ones that would benefit from us not being able to conduct our ceremonies and prayers.
Mm-hmm. What can people do who might be listening to help support you there at the camp?
I think that one thing that can be done is we can follow an Amnesty International model. The town has announced its opposition to the prayer camp. If people want to write to the town, an old-fashioned letter might even shock them, letting them know that there is support for the people here on the land. People are welcome to visit us. We are near Ramapo College on Halifax Road. Just make a right at Halifax Road, and we're across the bridge. And we're open. We're open to discuss the issue with people who are interested in finding out more about who we are and why we are standing up for the waters and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that would go a long way in terms of helping address these issues. And another path forward would be for people to do what we're doing here, is, you know, talk amongst each other, take action. I mean, I think part of the problem we have in our society today is that we're so atomized with the technology, with our neighbors. So even this discussion we have here, I think, is a good step forward in talking about an issue and trying to find ways in which we can address that issue.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I just want to remind listeners, we do have to, because we do have to break at 5 o'clock for some station IDs and all that, that we are talking to Owl. And Owl is, did you say, is the Ramapo Lenape Nation?
We are actually of Muncie descent.
Okay.
Our formal name that we are recognized in the state of New Jersey under is the Ramapo Lenape Indian Nation.
Understood. Understood. And people might not know a little bit of this kind of bizarre history of the concept of federal recognition and what that all entails. It's actually a legal term. It's not a vague symbolic term of whether they recognize somebody or not, which has a lot of meaning, because these, we're talking about land rights, we're talking about indigenous rights, we're talking about nation to nation treaties that were all signed by U.S. presidents, you know, in hundreds of years of this history here. So what you're doing down there by encamping in solidarity for the Standing Rock Sioux encampment, but you're also bringing to light a very real issue of a pipelines in our backyard that come through the Hudson Valley, and protecting water here in our backyards, as well as standing in solidarity with the Lakota, the Dakota, the Standing Rock folks. I really commend you on that, Owl, and I just really stand in solidarity and thank you for your willingness to, whether it's a permanent teepee or not. I think permanent teepee is an oxymoron, isn't it?
I would think so as well, but apparently the mayor of Mahwah does not.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I would advise you to keep it up and keep the struggle alive. And if there's anything we can do, write a letter, you said, to the town of Mahwah. Go to Amnesty International. And how do we actually go forward with this? You said go to Amnesty International. And
let me clarify.
I was not saying
go to Amnesty International.
Just
that
as a model.
Could be used as a model.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, I still don't quite understand how they do what they do, but they appear to be effective on certain levels.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is pure publicity, but the fact that letters to the town of Mahwah, maybe even email might be fine, but just to let them know that the world is watching what they're doing. If they can go to what they say is their position opposing the pipeline, then we're all good. But to the extent that they are trying to close our prayer camp down in this area, that's a bad thing. I mean, it's counterproductive. And this is a place where, you know, people are gathering and we talk about these issues and mm-hmm. we pray. And I think it's a good thing going forward. So to answer your question about Amnesty International, it's not Amnesty International per se, but the idea of writing letters and letting people know that the world is watching.
Yes. Excellent, Al. Thank you so much.
Well, we are just at 5 o'clock, Al, and I would really, really love to host you up here in person. If next week was a possibility, we could really get into these issues a little deeper and support you and what you're doing down there. And we thank you for your phone call.
My pleasure, my pleasure. As we say in ancient Muncie, Anishik. Thank you, Anishik.
Okay, well, thank you. We got to play some news and IDs, and we will definitely be in touch and hope to see you next week.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. That would be my pleasure.
Okay.
Excellent.
Take care.
You too.